Hello and welcome to Chuchter Tuesdays here on UWS Radio. I am joined with a fantastic guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. It is Callum McDonald from RunRig. Callum, how are you today?
Hello, Fraser. Lovely to be here.
Fantastic. So first question, I just want to ask, how have you been surviving in the lockdown three so far? How has 2020 been for you?
It's been a bit of a dream, really, because as some of you might know, RunRig have retired, and we certainly picked the right time to retire. Couldn't have got it any better. And so everyone's saying, so how's retirement? But you can't really answer that because everybody's retired. Everyone's in the same boat. So it's been strange. Of course it has for everyone, but just feel glad. I live up in the Highlands. So, you know, we're very fortunate. You've got access to fresh air and landscape, and so, you know, there's nothing coming over us. I just really feel for people in the cities and younger folk that are, you know, students or people starting careers, or it's really hard.
Have you picked up any hobbies so far in lockdown?
Yeah, I've taken up songwriting. It's playing the guitar and songwriting. So I thought, yeah, I'll have a bash at that now. So, but so seriously, yeah, the music continues. All the band stopped. The interest in doing what I've always done, just writing songs. I've got my wee demo studio, so I amuse myself in there and try and discover a tune or two. Mm-hmm.
Any future releases?
I don't know. Not with RunRig. I think the RunRig story is done. Mm-hmm. But I think for any of us in the band, you know, I don't think any of us could live without music or continue with music in some way or another. And I know that for Rory and I, we'll continue writing songs. It's just something that's in you. You couldn't not do it. So we had a wee project, a wee solo project a few years ago called The Band from Rockwell, and we took out an album. So we might very well revisit that again at some point.
So you just talked about your songwriting there. You were brought up in the islands. Was it North Uist, was it?
Yeah, I was born in North Uist, and we moved to the Isle of Skye when I was 8 years old. So I stayed there for all my secondary schooling and before coming down to the big smoke to be a student.
How old were you when you kind of picked up songwriting?
I think I started songwriting halfway through secondary school, about third year, fourth year. Rory was, or is, 4 years older, and he played in a band. In Skye, so there's always guitars hanging around and cassette recorders and amplifiers, and the bedroom was stacked with these things. So I think the fact that that was around me, and I loved music anyway, and it was just an exciting time to be growing up with music through the 60s and into the 70s. I don't know, I just took it upon myself to write songs. I didn't have a great motivation to sit and learn an instrument and, you know, go to classes. But I loved writing songs, and Rory did as well. And we'd both kind of just muck about just for fun, making recordings. But when the cassette recorder arrived, it was it's the best toy we ever had. And then when you got another one, you realise, we can bounce one off the other and start making proper recordings, you know, just multi-layered. So we used to have fun with that, making recordings, just as kids, and creating songs. So the songwriting kind of started from that, I guess, and then just continued.
Were there any influences that you had on your own songwriting?
Oh, gosh, yes. I think the biggest is the music of the day. I mean, just growing up in the 60s, as a kid in the 60s, growing up, you know, Elvis and the Beatles, the Stones, and then just the whole early history of rock and roll. I think all of that coming on the radio and eventually the telly, but not for a few years, but that kind of being immersed in that at a very young age. And on the other side, you're in the midst of Gaelic culture, which was around you, this old culture, which was very musical and had its own strengths, and that was an influence. So somewhere the mix of all these things just kind of boiled up together and informed the kind of songs we were writing.
When you were talking about you and Rory would just like try to bash out a couple songs, were there any lyrics that you wrote, and Rory was unable to like create a melody for, or vice versa, maybe?
Yeah, well, we've no set recipe for writing. We both write words and music. We don't really see the thing as separate. It's all part of the same thing. And sometimes Rory will do a song by himself. Sometimes I'll do a complete song by myself. And sometimes we'll just, you know, cut it all up and start again. And, you know, there's no set recipe. But we both kind of very much sing from the same hymn sheet. I think growing up together, there's the obvious strengths of you're in the same family, so your influences are similar.
So we'll begin with Run Rig, the fantastic band, one of my personal favourites. With all the successful tours that you have been on, are there any in particular which stand out as your favourite? And are there any stories from the trips you'd be willing to share?
Oh, God, that's a dodgy one there. The first thing I'd say is you'd need a long, long time to go through them all. There's so many people ask you, what was your favourite gig or, you know, your favourite tour? It's there are many significant dates, you know, ones you remember for a particular reason. You know, I remember playing in Hamburg the night that Sky Kamnach won the Kamnach Cup final, for instance. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot, most of them will be sport related. I remember being on the bus when Ross County were in the Cup final, and I was halfway between Leipzig and Berlin, and we couldn't hear the. Couldn't get the radio that's supposed to be feeding through. It was really frustrating, especially since it was all going well at half time.
Was that 2010 or 16?
With United.
Was it? Oh dear. I was at that one. It was a gubbin, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I expected so much after the semi-final. I remember that. I remember night in Nuremberg, Germany again, the night my daughter Rachel was born. She came not at a time when she was expected, so I was away, and I'll never ever forget that. Other gigs, I remember 1991, we did a big show on the shores of Loch Lomond, Balloch Country Park, and no one had ever played there before, so that was a tremendous event for us, because we put it on, we didn't know how many people were going to come. And it the audience was massive. We still don't know exactly how many, but between 40,000 to 50,000 came. So we'll never ever forget that one. But there's so many nights, you know, that you remember for different reasons.
So are there any songs from Run Rig which are close to your heart that you've personally wrote?
Well, they all are. You know, that's the thing. They all are at one stage or another, and usually the one that means most to you is the one you're working on at the moment, you know, the one that you're immersed in. And there's a degree of, once you feel that about a song, you write it, and then maybe you record it and you play it. It's out, it's like one of your kids, you know, they've grown up and they've left home. And they do come back home occasionally, but they're out in the world and they're going about. And songs are a wee bit like that. So whatever feeling you had something, a strong feeling for it in the first place. So they're all like that. And I guess it changes from time to time. You know, you'll hear a song you haven't heard for many years and you'll think, I remember that one. And yeah, that meant a lot to me.
So were you a proud father when you were playing Top of the Pops with Run Rig for the songs that you written?
Was I a proud father? Yes, absolutely. And I was especially proud when we did our Top of the Pops for the first Gaelic song to be on Top of the Pops.
Was that the one Gaelic that got into the top 20, was it?
Yeah, it was the first Gaelic song in the top 20, and it was a brilliant night for the language, and it was just a very significant night, that. And we were all very proud of that.
Also, accolades was you won Best Scottish Song of All Time in 2008 with Loch Lomond, the Hampden remix.
Oh, I know. We've often thought, I wish we'd written Loch Lomond. You know?
it's kind of a Mandela effect, I feel, that most people assume that you've just wrote it. You'll just take credit.
That's right. Well, you can't really. We did a wee extra Gaelic bit in it, so we kind of take credit for that. But no, the Loch Lomond thing, it's just been with us. It's always been there, and it's been a bit of a... It's been brilliant for us, and it's been a bit of an albatross as well, because it's so identifiable with us, and it's where people will go as a first port of call, and which is great. And we've gone through the process with it over the years, various incarnations of the song, and there's times we say, let's just stop it now. We've done it, you know. But the audience would never allow you to stop, and we actually tried, remember one night trying to not do it in the set, and the audience wouldn't leave the building until we came back. But you do it and you enjoy it, and it's been great for us. It's just been fantastic.
Where did the idea for you? You're talking about the Gaelic you added to Loch Lomond. Where did that come around? Because I think it's 3 minutes in the Party on the Moor track. I always skip to that bit because that's when it just drops into the Gaelic. How did that come around?
It just happened in the studio. We initially recorded Loch Lomond on our, because we were playing it live way back in the early days on our Highland Connection album, which was way back, very different version. Very tame version, but it was like what we used to do live at the time. And then we decided, we're getting a bit of audience reaction, so we decided to do a single. And we got a producer, Chris Harley, who's subsequently worked quite a bit with us, to come in on board, and he became part of the arrangement, and he had ideas as well. And it just evolved in the studio, just an arrangement for the song, the significant riff and the Gaelic bit, and it then went on to have a life of its own. It became a terrific live number, and then it got picked up by the football crowd and the rugby crowd and weddings and all that, which is great. It's really good.
How was it recording with the Hampden crowd? Because I think that's what the remix that won Best Scottish Song. How was it playing in that arena?
It was utterly mad. Well, it wasn't recorded in Hampden itself. They were recorded in Hampden, and then they came to the studio to put it all together, to construct it. And then we performed it live at the BBC, at Children in Need, the BBC. And I remember it was just shortly after the BBC had moved to beside the Clyde, where they are now. And the Tartan Army weren't allowed to come in till a certain time in the night. And everyone's waiting, and everything was a bit quiet, and we're just waiting for the audience to appear. And then somebody said, look, heavens, look at this. And all the bridges crossing the Clyde, it was like Bannockburn. You know, all these guys having been, you know, in the pub for the last couple of hours, they were coming on the BBC. So I think
that's brilliant.
There's a lot of words went up to senior management to say, listen, we might have a problem here. So it was brilliant. It was terrific. Really, really good.
That's amazing. So do you prefer Hampden Park, like the massive grounds that you've played in arenas all across the country, or the town halls up in the Highlands?
They're all good. They're all different. Yeah, you couldn't say you prefer one. The small intimate gig is terrific. I mean, it's so special. But then playing in the bigger arenas, it's, you know, bigger statements required, and, you know, the production, the lighting, it becomes a different event. And it's just different. It's equally good, yeah.
I was speaking to a couple of people in work who, I was telling them that I got an interview with you, and they were just, oh, I remember seeing them in the town hall How do you feel looking back that you've gone from playing like intimate small venues, as you said, going on to the success you've had?
Well, it's been great. It's been a progression, and I think because it took a long time, we weren't, you know, it wasn't overnight success or a big change. It was very gradual. And at any point when we were playing the bigger venues, we were still going back to the smaller places. We still did tours of the Highlands and Islands, you know, very late into, you know, to the earlier life of the band. Obviously, once you're playing big outdoor shows, you can't do many other, you know, you've got to concentrate on that as an event. So in our later years, it tended to be going for very special outdoor shows in scenic locations or, you know, castles or something iconic, something special. So that tended to be the best way to play in the later years. And especially when Bruce came on board, because we had the logistics of Bruce's out in Cape Breton, Canada. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he couldn't be flying back and forth across the Atlantic every week. You know, you've got to tailor it, you know, in a kind of meaningful way.
So my personal favourite song is Alba. And I just have to know, where did the inspiration come around for that song? And also, do you prefer writing in Gaelic? Do you feel your songs come across better in Gaelic?
I don't know if they come across better. What I would say is that when you're writing, for some reason, and I don't know why, I can't answer it, but sometimes you just happen to be in Gaelic mode, and there's a switch, an internal switch, and sometimes you're in English mode. And when you're working away in a song or singing or demoing, you are in that mode, and it'll either turn out Gaelic or mm-hmm. English, and there'll be an applicable melody shift in that direction. So there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just sometimes you feel or you're in that Gaelic place, mm-hmm. and sometimes you know. But all up with the song, the start of the song, the very start of the song, it was very much Rory's kernel, that one. It was arriving back into Edinburgh Airport, and the plane is just coming out of the sky, coming out to land. It started off as just an appreciation of coming back to your homeland, you know, having been away, seeing the place from on high and just seeing the land, and you're coming down to touch it and communicate with it and be with it. So that was the initial inspiration, and then it just developed to be a wider kind of a sense of Scotland and, political situation at the time, devolution and mm-hmm. identity and these kind of factors.
This is probably going to sound like really crazy to you and like totally
mental. I like crazy things.
But I really swear it's true. Is I was coming back from, I think it was a holiday with my family in Barcelona, and we were touching down in Scotland, and you've just described like how Rory got the inspiration for that coming into your homeland. And as soon as when you come out the clouds and then you see Scotland as you're coming, as you're descending, that's when the chorus hit. Of Alba, and like that's what I just like love the song.
So wow,
that's just so crazy.
I love that. Brilliant. Serendipity. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Oh. I love that.
I see when you were talking about it, I was like, that sounds really familiar. That sounds really familiar.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. I'll
Brilliant. So you've had a lot of guest players on the stage and in your recordings. This is another bit of a dodgy one here. If you had to pick one to be an honorary member of Runrig, who would it be?
Oh, for goodness sake. Who would be the honorary member of Runrig?
A big question.
Well, of course, there's all the ex-members, of course. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Blair Douglas, who was there at day one, you know. They are all honorary members anyway. Yeah. But I guess you're looking outside that, oh, that's a tough one. I mean, Duncan Chisholm's a big pal. You know, he's a pal of the band. Julie Fowlis. You can't single one out. We'll give it to Duncan. We'll just see.
My favourite's got to be Gary Ennis when he comes in for a Clash of the Ash with the accordion.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. Gary, of course, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, just a quick thing. Probably everyone's wanting to know if Runrig would ever come back again. With Scotland going to the Euros in the summer, would Runrig be willing to record an anthem for the Scottish camp?
Ah, there you go. There's, I really think Runrig, you know, I think we all hate the idea of, you know, we've said a big goodbye, you know, take 45 years. And there's something a bit disingenuous about coming back a couple of years later and say, all right, we're coming back, we're reforming. You know, people do it all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. But who knows, you know, if there was, I don't know, if there was another Live Aid or something equivalent, you did something for charity, I don't know. I mean, you never say never to anything, but if it's good and purposeful and feels right. But the song for the Euros, well, I don't know. It wouldn't be Runrig, but love to do that.
You're a big football man as well, is that correct?
Yeah, I have done the Ross County one, so that was... or one of the Ross County ones. So that was quite... that was fun doing that.
What song was that, sorry?
A football song. It's called The Jailender.
Were you on that song?
Yeah, well, I did it.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Did you write that?
I did it, yeah.
That's Roy amazing.
McGregor, Roy McGregor, sorry, he wanted a song, you know, so I thought, right, brilliant. I love the idea of this. I said, it's got to be cheesy. It's got to be fairly cheesy to get there. So that was my remit for myself. So then I recorded it with the guys in Torridon at the time. So that was good fun. So it's these things are good fun to do.
Oh, that's amazing. It's brilliant when it comes on the intercom after we score, which is rarely, but...
you haven't heard it a lot these months.
No. Afraid not. How are you finding Ross County this year? Obviously, it's not going... as well as planned, but
it's been a really, really disappointing season. And the good thing I found, you know, with lockdown, it's one of the things that certainly kept me going. Is I know football's only football, but it's been brilliant. You know, the English Premiership's been fantastic with no crowds. The whole vibe is different. You know, it's a very different chemistry. There's no home advantage, and so it's a very interesting year. That's been great, and of course with Ross County. I just watch online, you know, so it's been a difficult watch. It's been a hard year for them, you know, we're not going to get drawn to football, but they've had a lot of bad luck, a lot of unfortunate breaks, in the fine margins of things.
Well, it was really confusing to see, like, there were people not agreeing that football should go back to normal, but for me, I feel football plays such a key role, like, off the pitch. Because it kind of, see right now, even for instance, it installs a bit of normality that we all love to see, a bit of football on Saturday.
Absolutely.
So for me, that's why.
Absolutely.
Football's just...
in theory, it should work perfectly because all these clubs, they're in their bubbles, you know, and I know there's been some ridiculous breaches, you know, Rangers players and stuff, you know, it's just absolutely... shocking that you know, having been given the advantage they have been given to go out and perform and earn and as part of the economy as well, it's just been essential. So, but that notwithstanding, it's been excellent and it's been great.
So, a final word on Ross County and football. Do you reckon we can stay up this year?
Oh, I'll always say, reckon you can, yes. But it's you'd have to say that if you were a gambling man, the money would be on them not making it at the moment.
Everyone loves a good underdog.
But I didn't say that. Yeah.
No, I'll cut that out, don't worry.
No, hopefully we can do it. We can do it.
I just want to ask about the last dance. I was there in Stirling on the Saturday. The last concert, and it was amazing. I actually met the mariachi band as well. That was a great touch.
Great.
Yeah, I love them. I just want to kind of dive into your thoughts a bit about the concert. How were you feeling for that last day?
Oh, it was just a day like no other. And you asked earlier, you know, what's your most memorable concert? Actually, the most memorable one will be that one. Yeah. Because it was unlike any other show we'd ever done. It's, you know, after having done that for 45 years, it's the easiest thing in the world to stand on a stage and you know every minute detail of everything that, you know, you've been there and you've done it. But that night, everything was different. Every single thing was different. And I know I kept having a conversation with myself throughout the scene. You have to enjoy this and take this in because this is the last time you'll be doing this. And every song you'd say, well, this is the last time you're doing this particular song ever again. It was really, yeah. It was emotional and so many conflicting and emotions and feelings and, you know, a night you'll never, ever forget.
So you just touched on there how you were kind of like counting down the songs. Was there a part of you that just was in denial this was happening, or were you fully set on like, this is the last one, I'm going to enjoy this as much as I can?
Yeah, well, that was a kind of mantra I was saying to myself, that, you know, that this is the last one, yeah, because it's very easy to slip into denial and do something, put a face on it to get through it and, you know, that type of thing. But Anya knew that getting towards the end, it was going to be difficult. So you, I think you just have to have a bit of stiff upper lip at that point and get to the end of it.
Brave face.
And yeah.
So when you did the bow at the end, I just want, like, how did it feel just looking all those people out there, probably knowing that you've made a good percentage of them cry?
Yeah.
Just because it's ended.
Well, at that point, I think it's just an overwhelming sense of gratitude, really, to your audience, because these are the people that, you know, we were just a holiday band in Sky back in the early 70s and doing it for the fun of it. And if anyone was going to tell you then that would be your life's work, would be in a band and through music, you just couldn't have believed it. So there we were at the end of it. And I think gratitude, real thankfulness, gratitude to your audience. And it's just a powerful thing to do, to share your music. You know, it's like you're a conduit for this stuff. You know, you produce this music and it flows through you initially. You don't necessarily feel it's yours. You're a conduit, you pass it on and it touches people and it comes back to you. They sing it back or it's, you just feel very appreciated.
I'm not sure if you know, but there was the app called TikTok this summer, and they, like, where you can dance to your favorite songs. And I saw on the app there was a lot of people dancing to a lot of Run Rig songs. How do you feel that, even though the band is retired and there's no more music, how do you feel that your music still plays a huge part in the new generation of people?
Oh, it's great. Well, I guess that's one of the good things about music, about doing what we do. Very, very fortunate in that, you know, if you're a joiner or a fireman or a civil servant, when you retire, that's it. You leave the office and you come home. With having done this with music, your music is still there. It'll outlive and outgrow all of us. And it's still there doing the rounds and people listen to it. And so it's wonderful. It's just great that is there and people can dip into it whenever they want.
So you said about the Run Rig, the Last Dance, and there's a documentary coming out. Is there a potential release date for that?
Well, it should have been last year. Mm-hmm. So it's like so many other things, COVID has impacted on it hugely and it's finished. It's more or less finished. But they're just trying to find the right time and place and situation. The original plan for marketing it and for release, it was going to be looking at streaming options and hard copy options and all of that. That was in place. But then when the lockdown came initially last year, that was all up in the air. So it's finished, more or less ready to go. So very soon we will have a game plan for that.
I was wondering now that Runrig has retired from the Scottish music scene and you're seeing all these new bands such as Skerryvore, Torridon, Tidelines. Are you pleased to see so many new bands are kind of, I want to say, taking what you've done and seeing how popular it can be and just trying to replicate your work?
Oh, man, it's just great to see such a big industry in bands, and a lot of them as well, not just with the Runrig influence, but it came through traditional music and initiatives that had happened over the last few decades there. So it was a really vibrant scene, and that's what I feel heart sorry for a lot of these guys because of the situation, because whenever, you know, live music comes back in any meaningful way, it's not going to be big crowds, and it's just not going to be possible for a lot of these bands and these guys to survive, and I really feel for it. But it's just wonderful that they're there. It's terrific.
So a final thought. What does 2021 have for Callum MacDonald?
Well, 2022 would be better to project. 2021, I'll still be here. I'll be doing my hours exercise in the morning, going down and writing a few songs. And I've got a garden. I like the garden.
Oh, okay.
Vegetables, growing stuff. I like that. I'm into that. I love putting a spade in the ground. That'll do me. And a wee cast in the river from time to time. And of course, if I was allowed access to Victoria Park, I don't ask for much. You know, I'd be quite happy.
I know. Surely,
in the Premier League, of course.
Surely you've got Roy in your back pocket for the song.
Well, it's so, yeah, if that happened, I'm really hopeful of that degree of normality further into 21. I hope so.
Anyway, thanks so much for coming out. It's an absolute pleasure to speak to you, and it's great
it's
you're doing so well after retirement.
Thank you.
Enjoying yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you.